Our second gospel lesson for this morning comes to us from the very last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, a passage known as the Great Commissioning of the Disciples, verses 16 through verse 20. Listen now to God's word. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you until the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, you call us forth as your people. You claim us as your own through the power of our baptism, and you send us out that we might share your love. Draw us dear to you in this time and open our eyes and ears and hearts and minds that we might know you, see you, hear you, and love you. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Everybody loves to get mail, don't we? Now, while email and text messaging and private messages on Facebook and followers on Twitter are all good and fine and fun ways to stay in touch, there is nothing quite like a handwritten letter that comes to you in the mail. You know that feeling when you open the mailbox and you see in the midst of the junk mail and the magazines and the bills an envelope with your name on it, handwritten by someone you love. I remember finding a Valentine from my paternal grandparents a few years ago. It was tucked in a desk drawer, and I found it before I was moving. It had my name written on the front, "Love, Graham and Pap," on the inside. And even though they've been deceased for 9 and 10 years now, there was something amazing about knowing that their fingerprints were still on that card, that theirs were the hands that wrote, "I love you." There's nothing quite like a handwritten letter. There's a young woman who's named Hannah, and she believes that handwritten letters can change the world. Hannah tells her story of moving to New York after college to get her first job and feeling isolated, lost and alone in the hustle and bustle of an overwhelming city. The pace of New York and the anonymity of New York life led her to a deep depression. But then Hannah remembered the handwritten letters that her mother had sent to her all throughout her college years. Hannah's mother didn't call weekly. She didn't send her emails or email her photos of what was going on at home. She wrote on stationery updates from home that she would find in her post office box each week. So Hannah set out on a mission of her own. She started to leave letters for people all over New York City in an effort to help herself feel more connected to a city where people are not much more than faces passing by. She'd leave a note on a restaurant table. She would tuck a letter inside a library book. She would leave notes of encouragement in surprising places all around the city. And then she started blogging about these letters. And she said on her blog that if anyone needed a letter, she would write to them. She started a not-for-profit organization called The World Needs More Love Letters. And in under a year, she wrote more than 400 hand-penned letters to single moms, she writes, to a girl being bullied, to a young woman who barely knew her coffee order. She knew that this extra measure of love that went along with being sent, that kind of love had the power to change the world. Now, these two passages that we heard for this morning are about sending. and how in surprising ways Jesus' disciples become Christ's love letters to the world. Now in the reading from Mark, Jesus first sends the disciples out two by two to preach a gospel of repentance, the dawning of the kingdom of God, and to heal and teach in his name. He tells them to take nothing, no food, no extra clothes, just a walking stick and a friend, knowing that they would be equipped by the power of the Spirit to do great things in his name. He requires that the disciples step out in faith, a faith that's unlike that which many of us will ever know. Their missionary work is to be grounded in a trust in God, a trust in Jesus, a trust even in the kindness of others. Ooh. In our second gospel reading, we hear the words of the risen Christ, his final message to his disciples before his ascent into heaven. And again, he sends them out, making them disciples of all nations, telling them to baptize all in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, telling them to teach everything he commanded. He passes the torch with his disciples when he leaves this earth, inviting them to participate in the Missio Dei, the mission of God. He equips his disciples through the power of the Holy Spirit that they might continue God's work in his name. Discipleship, he says, is about being about the work of Christ. Loving the unlovable, preaching about the redemption offered in Jesus, issuing Christ's call to discipleship to all, everywhere, that others might continue to follow Christ's teaching and join in proclaiming the gospel of love in word and deed. In these passages, we are reminded that even for us, discipleship is a missionary journey. Discipleship of Christ across the ages is an invitation to the world to participate in Christ's mission. We too are sent out in love to baptize, to teach, to shine the light of Christ's love in the weary and broken world. We're to be those hands, those eyes, those feet, those hearts. A powerful truth emerges in our text for today, which is this: Christ's love for the world is magnified in the sending out. Today's reconfirmation class takes us to an exploration of a word we're quite familiar with, mission. Now, I know that for many, the word mission can be a bit of a loaded word. For some, mission is filled with potential, the potential of loving others in Christ's name, the potential of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, the potential of feeding the hungry people in the world, of providing shelter to those who are homeless, clothing for those who are naked, welcome to those who are outcast. But if we look back at the history of the church, we know that mission has also had its share of problems. The problem of colonization, the problem of the Crusades and other holy wars, the problem of the imposition of a religion and a worldview on indigenous people groups across the world. Ouch. Throughout history, it hurts, doesn't it? Throughout history, global mission across the ages has had its share of ups and downs. At times, it's highlighted the best of what is possible when humanity opens our hearts to the possibility of God's love at work through us. But at times, it has highlighted the worst of humanity. When one group initiative is filled with imperialistic fervor and a surge of superiority. Yet in spite of the contradictions within the various expressions of mission across time, it is clear that we are to be a sent people. Our faith is to be lived out in the world, not simply in the quiet corners of our homes through expressions of personal piety. Our faith is to impact how we relate to others, how we understand community, how we understand love. Mission is at the heart of a Christian's walk. So what does it look like? I've shared before that my introduction to mission came through my maternal grandparents. You're getting a family history. Through my maternal grandparents' missionary endeavors of making rosary beads to be sent out to international mission hubs throughout the world. As young children, we'd be sent down to their basement to grab a handful of strings off of a clothesline. The strings had had clear nail polish tape plastered on each end so they wouldn't fray. Then we would all sit in the living room. My pap would have a cigarette dangling out of his mouth, probably a beer on the table next to him too. And we would watch the football game and string rosary beads to be sent out into the world. We would pray over these rosaries. Sometimes we would pray the rosary as we were putting each bead on its string. But mission to us was distant. We were always thinking about how we could reach those that we couldn't literally reach. When I arrived at ELPC in the mid-90s, I began to witness an expression of mission that resonated with my own personal sense of call. ELPC was and is engaging in mission work within the community right around us, feeding those who were hungry, providing shelter to those who had no home, investing in a neighborhood, investing in people who had been forgotten, marginalized by the powers that be. I began to see that mission work was not simply for those who could leave everything to travel to India or Bolivia or Vietnam, although that was a part of what we were doing. But it was a way of life for followers of Christ. So a few bullet points on what mission work is and is not. Mission work is a call to go out and serve and love others in Christ's name. It is a reminder that our faith is not simply for personal gratification, but a faith that is to be proclaimed and enacted. Our faith in a living God is a faith meant to be lived. Mission is an opportunity to bear witness to the power of the living God in word and in deed, and to issue an invitation to hearers and seers that they might taste and see the goodness of God. Mission work is an opportunity to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. Mission work is not a colonial enterprise. It is not an initiative of a person or nation with superior wealth and weaponry to subdue those who are different from or other. It is not to be a show of force or an abuse of power, and it is not to be a way to extinguish diversity in the world. Because you see, at the heart of mission work is love. The love of a God who has made us, provided for us, freed us from sin, and overcome death. The love of a God who sustains us miraculously by the power of Christ's Spirit. The love evoked within us when we recognize the blessings that come to us from God. That love is the fuel for our response as we both praise God and love others in God's name. As Saint Teresa calls, we are to engage the world with open hands, open hearts, open eyes, and feet ever on the move, so that the love of God in Christ might pour out through us, spilling into the world. We, as disciples of Jesus Christ, are called to be instruments of His grace. We are called to be vessels of hope, and this is possible simply because of the grace, hope, and love offered to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. It is the Spirit that calls us, the Spirit that equips us to participate in the mission of God, the mission of Christ. And over again, God works through imperfect people, redeemed by the grace and love of Jesus Christ and sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that in life-changing ways, things can happen all around us and through us. We are a missionary people. You are surrounded by missionaries all around you. In consultation with Pastor Patrice, I'm going to invite us to do a little stepping out of our comfort zone this morning. I'm going to invite you to stand in body or in spirit if you have participated in the mission of God through this church in a variety of ways. I know everyone might not like to stand up, but I have a pretty good feeling everybody will be standing by the end. If you have participated in an international mission trip, either through ELPC, through Pittsburgh Seminary, or on your own, please stand up in body or spirit. If you have attended a national mission trip, I know there are noble nine among us who just got back from New Jersey 2 days ago. If you have participated in a youth mission trip to Mission Possible, if you have gone to Philadelphia or Washington, D.C., or any other youth trips, if you have participated as a church school teacher or facilitated a church school class, if you have participated in the ministry of Garfield Community Farm or Open Hand Ministry, if you have given money to the Least Coin Offering through Presbyterian Women, if you have participated in One Great Hour of Sharing or any of the denominational offerings, the Peacemaking Offering, I know I'm missing two, any of the other denominational offerings here at the church. If you have participated in Vacation Church School as a leader or a teacher or a snack helper, if you have dropped off snacks or pencils or markers or anything for Vacation Church School, please stand up. If you have hosted a booth or walked in the Pride Parade with ELPC, please stand up. If you have served as a liturgist, proclaiming Christ's love through offering a prayer, reading scripture, or leading in a call to worship, if you have sung with our choir or any other choir, please rise in body or spirit. If you have allowed the love of Christ to touch your heart and motivate you to welcome somebody that has not felt welcomed, please stand up. It doesn't have to be to church. If you have spoken up for someone who was being wronged, please stand up. If you have spoken against bullying, oppression, abuse in any form, if you have advocated for those who have been left out in society because of their race, their class, their gender, their sexual identity, the amount of money in their bank account, or they just weren't the cool kids on the playground, please stand up. If you have tutored or mentored at local schools, if you have visited the imprisoned, if you have prayed for those who have been abused, please stand up in body or spirit. Brothers and sisters, the list could go on. I haven't named every offering. But we are a missionary people called by God and sent out into the world as love letters to our global community, that we might profess in word and in deed, in thought and in prayer, in action and in service, that God is a God of love, that God is a God of redemption, that God is a God of new life and peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanksgiving for this day and for your mercies, which are new each and every morning. As we stand in your presence this day, we do so humbly, realizing you have called and commissioned each of us to be instruments of your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness, and your peace wherever we may be. And that doing so is only possible if we hear and heed your word and stand in your strength, not our own. Lord, we give you thanks for newness of life experienced in the birth of children, the celebration of marriages, both new and those that have withstood the test of time, for new employment opportunities and for sustainable and affordable housing, and for new possibilities that are beyond our ability to even imagine or think. We pray this day for traveling mercies for Pastor Randy and his family, for Denise and Daryl, and anyone who may be traveling or preparing to travel for any purpose. We come today to stand boldly in the gap for those who are grieving the death or experiencing the sickness of a loved one, for all those who are spiritually, mentally, or emotionally ill, for those who are in need of a place to call home, employment that will financially sustain, release from abusive relationships, and those who suffer from systemic racism, sexism, heterosexism, violence, or injustice. We pray for those who are imprisoned and for those that were harmed by their actions. Lord, we lift to you those who are fleeing for their very lives from oppression in Serbia, Mexico, Rwanda, Kosovo, Israel, and Palestine, or any place where governmental oppression exists. Lord, we lift to you all those who are still recovering from Hurricane Katrina, Sandy, and now Joaquin. May they find safety, provision, and healing through the work of our hands and the prayers that are on our hearts. We pray that your light will shine in dark places, that your justice will reign, and that your comfort, healing, and peace will be made known to all. We pray all these things and those that remain unspoken in our hearts in the name of your Son and our Savior, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.